It was safer to stay away from people. Much safer. But when a sharp stone punched through the thinning sole of her boot, Adelaide knew she'd have to risk a town. By that evening, she was limping as she made camp beside a stream. She poked her finger through the hole and swore in gutter Vresian. She could live off the land in the fat moons of early autumn, but only a cobbler could fix this. Adelaide was nervous about towns, with good reason. She'd walked into a riverside port soon after she'd escaped, hoping to find a boat to take her upriver. The mighty Neva would carry her almost halfway to Vriesland, and she had 2 gold crowns sewn into her belt, enough to pay her passage. She'd loitered on the wharf, watching for a likely vessel, and all around her the talk was of a Vresian witch who had killed the high priest. She'd flung a curse into his face, it was said. Killed him on the spot. Then vanished. Just disappeared. The story was told and retold with the relish of a ghost tale around a winter fire, and received with widening eyes and the sign of their god. There had been a guardian knight with her, some challenged, so where was he? Ah, that was proof that the guardians were in league with Kakos, the destroyer. Heretics, all of them. Not so, said others. The guardians were holy men, persecuted by King Alois for their wealth. Was not the high priest's body burned as they had been burned? The Vresian woman was no witch, she was a blessed one, wreaking the righteous vengeance of the god. Tall as a man she was, with hair that shone like the sun and pale blue eyes that could freeze you with a look. No witch could be so fair. Fragments of the arguments had slopped from waterfront taverns like spilt beer as Adelaide had passed. She'd run a finger around the edge of her linen cap to make sure no blonde hair had strayed into sight, tugged her hood forwards and kept walking. Swagger, she'd been told. If you're dressed like a man, walk like there's something between your legs and you're proud of it. There had been soldiers on the quayside searching people. She'd heard a shout and a scuffle as they seized a beardless, fair-skinned youth and pulled off his cap to see his hair. It wasn't even blonde, just a pale brown, but they made him drop his loincloth just the same. Since then, Adelaide had tramped across country, relying on the sun or the stars to keep her heading north towards Vriesland, where a tall, yellow-haired woman was unremarkable. Here in the warm south, there were vineyards where the grapes were ripening, and orchards full of apples. She'd scavenged scraps of leather from an outhouse, enough to make a sling, and most days she could kill enough to eat. Roosting pigeons or ground-feeding pheasant, mainly, or sometimes a rabbit grazing near a woodland's margins. They were easier targets than squirrels and better eating. She had flint and char in her scrip and a knife on her belt. She could survive for now. But she could not live through the winter. And already it was the hunter's moon. The leaves were brazen with colour, and although the days were still warm, the nights were chill. She might be covering 8 to 10 leagues in a day, and that probably meant 5 by the time she'd taken detours around streams and settlements. She guessed she had 200 leagues to tramp, perhaps 3 more moons on the road, and her sister house boots were disintegrating. There was a 1-temple market town below her on the plain that would have to serve. No walls, no castle, big enough to have a cobbler, but probably no soldiers. If she was going to take the risk, it was as good as any. She just had to hope that the king's men had stopped searching. Adelaide prepared well. After more than a moon of living rough, she was rank and filthy. So in a cloudless dawn that promised autumnal heat, she washed her clothes and spread them over bushes to dry. She had camped where a low waterfall had created a broader pond, too shallow to swim in, but deep enough to cover her body.